Josh and Richie here with your daily takeaway. It's really good to be back into the swing of things after being off last week.
It's good to have you back.
It's good to be back. I do note that while I was away, a Colin the Caterpillar cake turned up.
Oh, yeah, I forgot, yes.
Yeah. I'm imagining that has been stored away somewhere for my return.
Now, about that... Just to explain, and this is what makes us feel terrible about it. It was off the back of your story about getting a birthday cake for
yes,
your son Rocco.
For my son.
So
yes.
You told the story. It was your personal connection.
Yes.
That then made the lovely people at Marks and Spencer's Food get in touch.
Yeah.
But I feel bad for you because the week you're off,
yes.
And we ain't off a lot on this show.
We're not off a lot. No.
The week you're off, that arrives. Not only a Colin the Caterpillar cake, but yeah. Loads of other light
I
sweets.
I saw a lot of other things. Yeah.
But they're all gone as well.
So where?
Into everybody's tummies. There's no other way to say it. We thought about trying to keep Colin, but how long would Colin keep?
Johnny? Well, what a lot of places do that sell food is they put an expiry date on it so you can see how long it would keep.
See, we tore the packaging and everything off it to get to him as quickly
right.
as possible.
How many days did you save him here?
We didn't. It went immediately.
In one day?
Colin was eaten within about 40 minutes of him getting through the front doors.
Unbelievable.
I'm so sorry.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
So, yeah, I need some help with someone that came up in terms of a question or a subject on the school run yesterday.
Always here for help.
Well, I appreciate that. I was walking my middle daughter, Thea, who's 5, to school. We always talk about what she's going to have for school that day, which normally means me scrolling through messages that my other half, Katie, has sent to me, photographing the menu because I'm too stupid to remember what it is. And it turns out that she was having burgers
right.
for school lunch. And I'm always like, I'm so jealous. I'd love that. We're talking about my love of burgers, etc., and how good they are. Trying to get her into eating them, basically. And then I said to her, to Thea, I remember when burgers were invented. And I mean, I feel like I remember burgers like being a thing, like suddenly being a thing. I remember as a kid, I remember there being a time when there was no burgers, like the Dark Ages. And then suddenly the burgers were around and it was like it was PB, post-burger. Do you
right,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
But as I was walking her back, I was thinking, oh, did I just make that up? Like, do I remember, like, is that a false memory? Like, was it in the papers that someone had invented burgers? So I just wanted to put it out there. Do you have in your mind a memory of an era in Great Britain or wherever you come from where there weren't any burgers around?
I don't remember the early part of my childhood when there were burgers.
So you don't remember that? Yeah, you when you were like little,
yeah.
right? Were there burgers around? Everything there was.
No, and then like McDonald's came, and then burgers were everywhere, and like kids had birthday parties, and you went to McDonald's and
yeah,
and all that kind of stuff.
Because there was no way like my mum and dad were doing us burgers after school.
And we never had burgers at home.
And then McDonald's popped up, and it's like, oh yeah, we were doing burgers first.
Yeah.
It was like, look at this, and
exactly.
then your mum and dad start copying
yeah.
it. So it's a little bit like avocados. People have avocados now, take it for granted.
Yeah.
They weren't even invented in the 80s. They weren't around.
I think John's being sarcastic here. He says, what did Burger King used to sell when it opened in the 50s?
Shut up, John. It didn't come over to England, though,
no,
did it?
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? There was no Burger Kings. I mean, I don't even know when Wimpy started. I remember we did have Wimpy. Jeff says, I was thinking about this just the other day. It was very common to have, put in inverted commas, beef burgers, but bunless, wasn't it? In fact, I believe the Wimpy Special Grill still features it as such. Might have to go on a fact finding mission.
These days they call that a naked burger.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
Peter says, I'm 61 and there were no McDonald's when I was young. There was a Wimpy bar in the place I lived and to go there was a big treat. I recall going with a couple of friends to Wimpy for one of their 9th birthdays, but I don't recall ever having beef burgers at home until the late 70s.
Andy says, burgers were, say, served plain, grilled to an inch of their life and on the plate with oven chips and peas. So that wasn't really a burger, was it? Because a burger, obviously, is once it's in a bun.
Well, what's the photo of something, the old product that people keep sending us on Twitter? There's a steakhouse...
Steakhouse grill, yeah.
There's a steakhouse grill. Mike says, speaking as a 52-year-old, I definitely remember seeing burgers on the television during the 80s, but we didn't get them in Barrow and Furness until the early 90s. A little bit like red onions and Ceefax.
Vanessa, you remember a time before burgers?
I don't remember eating burgers, but I do remember that you could see them in the freezer section, and they would be... If you went to someone's house and maybe you had them, they'd be on your plate, but not in a bun, but like with boiled potatoes and gravy and things like that.
So, can you identify, if you were to search back into your childhood, what era burgers came into your life? What year? How old were you at this time?
I remember McDonald's opening in Nottingham, and I was about 16 at sixth form.
Okay, so before that, the burgers weren't even a thing. Isn't that crazy when you think about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I don't think they're any worse for having them.
The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Paul is diversifying. He says, I can remember the time before pizzas.
No.
He says, when my mum discovered pizzas, she used to give us pizza, chips and gravy for dinner.
Oh, my. Pizza, chips and gravy.
Yeah, can you imagine, like, a pizza sat in a bowl of gravy?
I've not, gravy makes everything better, though, so maybe...
True, and Domino's will give you a dip, won't they?
This is it.
You know.
This text says, my name is Annie. My mum says she doesn't remember having beef burgers when she was a child, but does remember taking my older brother to McDonald's when he was a young boy as a treat, possibly around the year 1992. I personally don't remember having beef burgers very often. The one time I do recall as a child having a beef burger... was from a caravan club and the site, and it was awful. A lot of information to unpack there.
Phil, we're getting closer.
We're getting there.
Sally, you remember a time before burgers?
What I do remember, I was born here and I've lived sort of back and forth between Canada and England. I can remember being 4 years old, so like 1986, and eating McDonald's burgers in Canada. But then when I came back to England about, I don't know, I was about 10 years old at the time. I remember McDonald's being like sort of a new thing and it was like a big deal. And it was the first time I ever had a burger in England.
Yes. So, you know, in many ways with time, we do BC and AD or whatever.
Yeah.
But we could have a similar thing for pre and post burger in the United Kingdom, because you think it might have only been a thing. What were we thinking? Say in the 90s for this particular time?
Yeah, mid 90s. Yeah.
So no burgers before mid-90s.
Well, if that is the case, then there definitely was a time before burgers.
We've proved it. So, Sally, would you be, if Richie and I were maybe to go to the press with this, would you be willing to back us up with your story?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I was there, I was a witness.
Well, I can see it in the Sunday papers. The lady who remembers a time before burgers.
Sunday Supplement magazine, I reckon, yeah.
Sally's story.
The noise of the past. Bush and Richie's Sound of the Decades.
Absolute 80s.
So the sound effect from the 1980s, in honour of the fact that you can choose the music, the decade that goes with this radio show, it's the 80s, it's been confusing you all, and it goes like this. What is it?
Maybe tricky to think about, but dude, there is a clue. Just one thing from yesterday, the wrong answer, all right?
Oh, yeah.
Paper guillotine. What's 80s about that? All right, don't waste a guess on an item that could be from any decade.
Think of the decade, not necessarily the sound. Here it is one more time.
Sharon is hanging on. Where are you, Sharon?
Hello, I'm in Amersham.
Amersham. How's your day been today? Has it been all right?
Well, wet, miserable, you know, same as everybody else's, really.
Oh, dear.
It's been really miserable. I feel like the weather's been bad for ages now. We deserve a bit of sunshine, don't we?
Definitely. Anytime soon would be nice.
Well, let's look optimistically and think it means we're due a good spring and summer.
Well, that's a lovely way of thinking about it.
Thank you.
Have you had anything exciting happen in your day today, Sharon?
I got my hair cut and that's about as exciting as it's been.
Oh, what'd you go for?
Oh, just a trim. Nothing radical.
Do you have one hairdresser that you always go to, can't trust anyone else?
Yeah, kind of. I think everyone's a bit like that. You know, you sort of know what you're going to get then, don't you? You're not going to have to wear a woolly hat for days or weeks.
You've got to have a little trim to look after your ends, I hear.
There's some good advice. Soothsaying advice coming from you this evening. I like it.
Sharon, of all the Absolute Radio stations, what is your station of choice to consume the Home Time show with?
Usually the main one, the Absolute Ordinary.
Absolute Ordinary.
Brilliant.
Okay, great.
Getting that made into a poster.
Right. Let's remind ourselves one more time of this sound from the 80s. Sharon, what is the sound of the decade?
I think it might be a Dymo tape labeller.
Oh!
I haven't seen them in ages.
Yes!
So is that
I think I've still got one somewhere in the house.
Is that the twisty thing you would click into like a bit of plastic that would then stick onto something?
Yeah, sort of like, and it would, like an embossed letter would come out.
But it wrote a little bit like a blackmail letter would do. That kind of thing.
Yes.
Nathan's
locker. Stick your name on everything. Just stick your name on everything kind of thing.
That's a great suggestion. Let's have a listen one more time.
I remember my mum using those to label my lunchbox at school.
It's good. Well, nowadays, we've got a printer, because my full surname is Bushenfeld.
Yeah.
I've got an actual stamp now for the kids' clothes.
Oh, wow.
Do it on one of them things that she's talking about.
You'd be there
all night.
Ages.
Exactly.
Is it the sound of the decade?
You're a loser.
Oh.
and you have lost.
Sorry, Sharon, but I tell you what, your new hair looks fantastic. We're all talking about it in the office.
Yes, healthy ends.
Oh, cheers. Thank you.
Take care.
Sound of the Decades returns tomorrow from the 80s.
This is the Daily Takeaway.
We're very close to closing down our incident room here on the show. Been trying to get to the bottom of when it was that burgers first appeared in the United Kingdom. Do you have a memory of a time before burgers? We've got Michael on the line who has a memory of a first burger. Michael, take it away. What happened?
We lived in Oxfordshire. My dad took us shopping in London for the day. Mm-hmm. And we ended up at the Marble Arch McDonald's, 1983. I was 13 and I wanted to impress everyone, so I had a shave. I ended up shaving my nose. So I ended up in McDonald's with a plaster on my nose. It wasn't a particularly good day for me.
Michael, but can we just get the thought process straight here? So you knew you were going to go to a McDonald's for the first time, so you thought, wow, okay, I better shave for this.
Make an impression,
and absolutely, then you missed your face and cut your nose.
That is correct. You know, you're 13 years old and you've never shaved before, and you know you've got all your best togs on.
Did you shave your nose as part of the overall shave, and that's what cut it, or did you accidentally hit the nose when you were going for another bit?
I accidentally hit the nose. I was a new shaver.
New shaver, yeah.
A little bit eager.
I've
never shaved before, and so there you go.
But back to the burger.
So we got a timestamp there, really, haven't we? 1983, I think.
So we've got a wall chart that we're working from here. So, Michael, we can put you in the Greater London area, 1983, Central London. You were definitely there having a burger.
I remember it being, I think it was the Marble Arch McDonald's at the time.
Okay.
We were all blown away by it, obviously, at that time.
Okay, and shaving-wise now, no problems?
No, I've got a beard now, so I don't bother anymore.
He's that bad at it, he just gave up.
Yeah, terrible, terrible.
Methuselah.
So, a really long beard, just instead, you know, the old metal beard, yeah.
This is the Daily Takeaway.
So I need to come clear on something today. We've talked much before on this show about my giant rucksack that I come in with every single day.
It's a massive bag. It looks like a train driver's going to work bag.
Yeah, well, look what isn't here today.
Oh, the whole thing's not here. It's just an empty seat behind you.
Which is awkward, because you and I share a mantra that you never trust a person who doesn't have a bag.
Yeah. It's what are they doing in their working day?
Exactly. What's going on for them to be able to operate with absolutely nothing? Now, I'm going to the football after the game, after the show tonight, going off to Arsenal versus Porto.
What's it called? European football? I can't really say it properly.
Champions League.
Yeah, no, I don't know what that means.
Yeah. So it's always a massive inconvenience going to a football game with a bag. So I thought, right, we've got to travel light today. So I don't have a bag, but normally I do. So it's just a one-off, but it does feel awkward because we both believe you never trust a person who doesn't have a bag with them.
There's so many questions, though, isn't there? Like, people who don't have a bag, like, what do they do on the way home? They can't get anything out to watch it or listen to it properly because they've got nothing on them.
Exactly.
Weird.
So complete the sentence. Never trust a person who, all right? So we'll start you off with doesn't have a bag. I'll give you another one. Never trust a person who doesn't wear a belt. I'm always very, very suspicious of people that don't have belts.
I mean, we obviously talked about this a lot. I've only got one belt.
That's fine. It's better than
but
none.
At least we've got a belt. Yeah. I'll give you another one, right? Never trust someone who doesn't instinctively try and trap a football that comes across their path.
Absolutely.
It's almost like, well, if I see people let a ball go in front of them, I think,
yeah,
are you an alien? What is wrong with you?
This is the Daily Takeaway.
Yes, now, Helen says, never trust a person who doesn't like dogs. Alternatively, who dogs don't like.
Well, I always feel it's weird if a dog overly sniffs your crotch area.
Yes.
I feel like you get untoward attention from every other person in the room. Like, what's
definitely
wrong with them?
Definitely.
What have they been up to? Paul says, never trust a skinny chef.
Yes.
And Dan says, never trust anyone who says Pacific instead of specific.
Elaine says, without a proper handshake.
Oh, a bad handshake can change everything, can't it?
Really can.
Now, worse than that, Glyn actually says, never trust anyone who doesn't stroke a carpet in a carpet shop.
Sandy, never trust a person who
wears a short sleeve shirt with a suit.
Short sleeve shirts are strange things, aren't they?
They really are.
They're very unusual, particularly, you know, smart short sleeve shirts are a bit weird, aren't they, Sandy?
Yeah, it doesn't work. at all.
Do you know what? Sorry, because we're just going to interrupt him here. He has the same situation with, as I do, right? Yeah. So if I'm ever saying my name, someone says to you, what's your name? I say it's Sandy. Yeah. They always think I'm saying my name is Sandy.
Well, I heard Sandy.
I heard Sandy as well, but I think, oh, maybe he's actually called Andy, but he's saying it's Sandy. And then we think he's Sandy. Are we up to speed now?
I think we are.
Okay.
Short sleeve shirts. Anything more on that?
Not really. No. My boss wears one, so that's probably why I'm saying it, but there you go.
Well, I was going to ask, why is this? And that's where we're getting at.
Coach drivers, that's another one. I always think of coach drivers when I see a short-sleeve shirt.
That's a really good point. I've never seen a coach driver with a long-sleeve shirt.
No, they don't wear them.
They don't wear them at all.
That's a good point. Or a bus driver, or a butcher, I suppose.
That's good.
Butchers? Did you say butchers, or is this the whole butcher, Sandy Andy thing again?
Butcher, yeah.
You've never seen a butcher in a long-sleeve shirt?
No, we always wear short sleeve ones.
Wow, this is a phoner for another day, but very good intel. Sandy, lovely to speak to you.
Never trust the person who doesn't answer a toy telephone that a toddler has handed them.
That's inspired. I don't know where that's come from, but that's perfect. John in Sunderland says, never trust the man who, when left alone with a tea cosy, doesn't try on his head. So weird.
Trixie, never trust a person who...
collects dolphins or wears dolphin earrings and jewellery. It's just creepy.
Okay.
And they're always really tacky.
Okay, so just if you didn't hear that on the lines, and don't trust someone who collects dolphin like ornaments or wears dolphin earrings. Is it a dolphin thing for you?
They're always really bad. I've never seen a good-looking dolphin ornament that I thought, oh, that's artistic and nice. They're always really tacky and just a really bit bargain binny. But the jewellery and stuff is always awful. It looks horrendous, and I tend to find those people are creepy.
Wow.
It's just a lesson learned.
I'd love to see her on, like, Antiques Roadshow, just absolutely saying, don't like that, don't like that. That looks tacky.
Yeah, but can you imagine? Because you know what I mean about these dolphin ornaments. They're always stuff that have been made. It looks like a kid made them. You know the old Plaster of Paris mould set? It looks like it's been made with one of them and badly painted.
I remember when I was a kid, there was a big fad for, like, porcelain but incredibly badly painted, like, birds.
Yes.
Do you remember those?
Yeah.
Exactly. And then they turned them into dolphins.
So what about if there was... I don't know, a horse, a silver horse. Is that tacky?
No, that's fine.
Okay, cool.
I know the old folks used to, but my dad used to have them shire horse ornaments.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, pulling a little cart and stuff like that. So
yeah.
What's your view on those little crystal frogs? Remember loads of little crystals?
Same as dolphins, let's face it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just... They're just not pretty, are they? I think it's the kind of things you buy aunties you don't like.
Doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You definitely did it on poor point.
But there you go. Should we wrap this call up here?
And the show, personally, yes.
Yeah, sorry.
No,
you're good. It's good.
I apologise, Trix. It's brilliant.
It's us, not you.
Oh, I get told that a lot.
She's a wild card.
She is. Bye-bye, Flipper.
Thank you. Bye.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
So just going back to what we were talking about at the beginning, about Colin the Caterpillar.
Yeah.
I understand the cake went, and maybe there's an expiry date issue, but I think the good people at Marks and Spencer Food sent a lot of, like, extraneous stuff as well that might have been a bit more sort of, like, packaged and might keep.
There was, and I feel bad. I feel like this is something that we should have saved for you, but again, that was all eaten, and that was more packets of sweets and, like, Haribo-y type
stuff. You don't like sweets. You've often said to me that you don't have a sweet tooth.
I don't, but I don't want to throw him under the bus, but it was our producer, Adem, who, fair enough, is not here to defend himself. He had all of the packets of that stuff as well.
Did he indeed?
It was quite a piggy-wiggy day.
Oh, well, maybe he saved that, so I'll ask him tomorrow when he's back.
Yeah, let's see how we get on with that.